Well, let's talk some UTC hoops as we welcome back. We enjoyed having him last week. Lamont Paris, whose mocks absolutely put it on Samford on Saturday, 105-67, hitting almost 55% from 3-point. The mocks are 11-6 overall, 2-2 in conference play. Tomorrow night, they got a big one as Wofford comes to McKenzie. Of course, Wofford having already won in Chapel Hill in Carmichael Auditorium, not at the Dean Dome. They won at Carmichael. Coach, how are you today?
Oh, I'm great, guys. Just had a good practice this morning. We changed up this semester. We practice in the morning. So had a good practice morning and just watching some Wofford tape as we speak.
All right. You know, Jay and I both coach a lot of youth sports, and we all have those days where it's like whether it's basketball and your team can't miss and you get way up, or it's baseball and you're just hitting everything into the gap. When you have a day like the other day against Samford, like 17 of 31 from three, do you ever sit there when you're up 30, when you're up 40, and you're like, my goodness, I wish we could save some of these shots for another game?
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably not saying it during the game in my head, but yeah, there's no question after the game you say, and we thought we were due for a good shooting game at some point, and it was like every single guy had a pretty good day on the same day. But yeah, you wish you could spread it out a little bit, and then you know, not have any games where you can't buy a basket.
Lamont, what would you say the biggest adjustment, or how would you – I guess you had an idea that it would impact the game to some extent, but has it been more than you thought, less than you thought, when you talk about the moving back of the three-point line this season?
I'd say maybe slightly less than what I thought. The numbers bear out, I think, from – I mean, people have done – research and statistics on what overall, what the percentage on made threes is nationally, and I know it's down. So I'd say it's probably pretty similar to what I thought, maybe slightly less with the good shooters anyway. I always thought it was going to affect two things. You know, guys that were shooting off the move, just because you're doing that now from depth, a little more depth. And then the marginal three-point shooters, some of the guys that are like, you know, four men out there that don't shoot the ball necessarily great. And I think that one has borne out. I don't know if the off the move has been affected that much, maybe. But I think it's been a factor. But for good, really good shooters, I don't think it's much of a factor.
You're listening to Lamont Paris, whose mocks are 11-6 overall, 2-2 in league play, heading into tomorrow night's showdown at McKenzie Arena against Wofford. You're listening to Lamont here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
All right, Coach. I've got three for you. One is philosophical, right. One is futuristic, and one is kind of silly because, well, you know who I am. All right. Philosophical. The Houston Astros are in a world of trouble for stealing signs. We talked about this earlier. In basketball, is it just scouting? I mean, you run number one, and Samford knows what your number one is. They've watched the tape. It's just whether they can stop it or not. Do y'all steal? Is there sign stealing? Is there any type of that type of stuff in basketball?
No. I mean, it's gotten to the point where some guys now, they're writing stuff on the board. And for their own team, right, on a dry erase board. And so, like, it looks and it says 23 Skidoo. That's what it says on the board. And, like, everyone knows it's 23 Skidoo, but, you know, maybe it helps in the aftermath and for a second time that you play where you say, hey, whenever they do 23 Skidoo. But what will happen is guys will – you have to have five guys recognize it. You have – a lot has to go on, you know – And baseball and football, even, you know, if baseball, if you were tipped off to what kind of pitch is coming, that is a significant deal, right?
Right.
Basketball, I can tell you, hey, we're going to run a high ball screen with LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
Hey, good luck with that.
What's coming. Here it comes, guys. you still have to guard that thing. Right? What are you going to do? How are you going to guard it? Like,
well, and I hope
there's some advantage to knowing.
And I hope the next time anybody tries to run 23 skidoo, that you're yelling 23 skidon't, because we got you.
Yeah, and so there are some plays. You know, a lot of plays in basketball are designed to get a situation. Like I said, that ball screen between those two guys. So it's just a situation. You have to make reads based on. You can guard the ball screen five different ways. You got to read how they guard it based on what you want to do. So I think that's the biggest thing. It can be helpful in basketball if there's a specific play that is for an alley-oop, let's say, right? You can eliminate that just by knowing the play. And then so once that happens, then you go back into your file and you make up a new alley-oop play. That's called something else, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I guess in basketball it hasn't been as big a deal, because I think the general consensus is these particular plays will work against what their tendencies are. And then these other ones, we're just going to run these no matter what. We're going to run these no matter who guards it, no matter what. Like, it doesn't matter if you know it. We're still going to get a touch. And so it hasn't been quite as big a deal in basketball.
How long until there's a 4-point shot?
I don't know. Hopefully, I'll be long gone by that from the coaching ranks by the time they start doing stuff like that, you know.
I do.
I think there's this concept that you have to always be changing something, and you know, some changes are good. It's funny, I look back to the 3-point line where it was when I was in college, and I look and I was like, golly, guys, like the 3-point line used to be right here. That's just like a regular old jump shot now.
Right.
So they always feel like there's some sort of change. I think the changes have enhanced the game for the most part. Like, I think at some point you're going to start getting into, it's like you get to a golf course and you make these greens, or, you know, there's a different fine line between making the greens really nice and fast and undulating and then making it like a putt-putt.
Exactly. I think that's a really good analogy, Coach. That's a really good analogy. As for the silly, if you could recruit Coolidge from the White Shadow, Teen Wolf, or Jimmy Chitwood, who gets your first scholarship offer?
Well, I don't know. Teen Wolf did a lot. Like, the crowd was really into it. Teen Wolf was a fan favorite. Teen Wolf was shot 100% from the field.
He did.
I think so. I think I'll do better. I'll put it in order. I'll go Teen Wolf, Coolidge, and then Jimmy Chitwood in that order.
Fair enough. Thank you.
You're listening to Lamont Paris, the third-year coach of the Basketball Mocs, who are 11-6 overall, 2-2 in league play, heading into tomorrow night's home game against Wofford. Coach, when you look at this team, Matt Ryan's a graduate transfer. With David and Roman, you got two redshirt juniors. I mean, Jay and I are both Auburn grads, and you look, Auburn goes to the Final Four, loses a bunch of talented players from that team, but have five juniors that cycle up and are now seniors. When you talk about a nucleus of veterans like that, how nice is that to have, and do you feel like you haven't had that until now?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to put a value on experience and not only experience, but just being older in general. You know, sometimes you get an older guy that you get him because he didn't have the experiences that he wanted to where he was. That's not our case. Our guys have played, but just the value of being older. It's just, there's no value that you can put on that to quantify it. And yeah, we have not had that. We haven't had that at all. And, you know, year one, we had the youngest team literally in the entire Division I nation. So that was presented as a challenge, needless to say. Last year, we were, I think, the sixth least experienced team. So, again, plenty of challenges that go along with that. You're going to have challenges with anything, but it's nice. I think older guys, they're coached better. They respond to stuff that you're going to constantly have them do things that they don't want to do. That's kind of the deal between coaches and players. You want them to do certain things, they want to do other things. And so you have to meet halfway, and older guys are typically, they recognize what is more important in winning. They're more locked into winning and committed to winning. Typically, they handle bad officiating, they handle crowds, they handle travel, they handle the rigors of academics and bad. Like, they typically just handle all that stuff better. So it's nice to have an experienced team, I'll tell you that much.
And then the last one I wanted to ask you, just when you look at college basketball this season, and I know we've kind of moved on into league play, but when you go back to the start of the season, you saw some, I know there are upsets every year, but you seem to have seen this year some really big whoppers. I mean, when you consider Evansville taking down Kentucky, Stephen F. Austin beating Duke, I know South Carolina went to Charlottesville and beat Virginia and then came home and lost to Stetson. Why have you seen, why have there been, or why do you think we're seeing this year, especially in the non-conference, so many of these just really eye-popping upsets?
You know, that's a good question. That's a good question. It's hard to say. I think sometimes you have, a lot of times anyway, you have young guys that are really talented. Let's say you look at the Duke game in particular. I don't know the makeup of Stephen F. Austin. My guess is that they're a veteran team. That would be my guess. But I know Duke is a young team. And so young teams, I think, are always a little more susceptible to stuff like that. However, typically the young guys you have are Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett. Those guys are not, they're so good, they're not as susceptible to that. Now, they're also susceptible to those guys. You look at a team like that, and hopefully, don't take this out of context, anyone that's listening that's a Duke fan, but you got three of the top how many ever draft picks. That's a national championship winning team or bust to me, right? Like, that's only the deal. You're only winning the national championship. But they didn't, and I think a lot of it is you get in games, and those are still young guys, and you get in a close game. Zion Williamson, those guys were not in many close games, and so it affects what you do. I think that's a part of it, but then I think it's exaggerated when you have those same guys that are getting the same fanfare as those Zion Williamson and R.J. Barrett that are not Zion Williamson and R.J. Barrett. They're really, 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 really good, but they're not impervious to some sort of run made by an older team.
Well, listen, Lamont, great stuff as always. Congratulations again on walloping Samford. Best of luck tomorrow night against Wofford. Go see the Mocs. They are very, very good. And the Terriers come into town, and obviously they have been they've had a great track record in SoCon play recently. Are you going to make – if you're up huge, will you do the same deal?
Technical?
For sure. It was hard to get one in that one now, guys. there's like that one would have been I might have gotten fired if I got it. But yeah, I'll make the same commitment. Hopefully the same result, but I'll make the same commitment.
Lamont, thanks as always. Great stuff. Best of luck tomorrow night. We always appreciate you here on Press Row.
Thanks, guys.
All righty. Lamont Paris, the third-year coach of the Mocs, joining us. 648-1051 is the number. We'll revisit the Papa John's poll question when we come back here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.